When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, and welcome to Fat Mascara.
Hello.
I'm Jen.
I'm Jess. Let's rock.
Rocking. Okay, so I have some news to share. We're going to talk about it. It involves my hand. Then, more importantly, we're going to talk about an animal testing bill in California. This was the most Jen intro ever. It's like, oh, I'm getting married. Also, animal testing.
Oh, so you just wanted to announce it like that? Like
well, we'll talk about it on the pod. No, there's an animal testing bill in California that Jess and I have some thoughts about.
Yes.
And then the last one is about the new blowout. I'm putting quote marks around
blowout.
The new. Like, what is this look and why are we all getting it when we sit in the chair?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about all of that. Who is our guest, Jess?
Our guest is Luke Henderson. Wow, what a treat for Bravo fans. He is the hairstylist for many of the Real Housewives, but also just one of the most fun guests I think we've ever had. I mean, really, he's up there. Fun, entertaining, charming. And if you work in the beauty industry, get those pencils out.
Jen, you sly dog.
Why am I sly?
Because the cat's out of the bag.
It is. I'm getting married.
I'm getting married. It's so funny. Everybody knew about your love and your boyfriend. He's in the business. We talked about him because he's a cosmetic chemist.
Oh, wait. We're not talking about me right now.
I know. This is my default thing is to talk about other people. I don't like to talk about myself.
Okay. House lights on you, okay?
I know. But I was going to say the whole time you were going through your wedding and everything, I was like falling in love and stuff.
Yeah, so you were having your own romance. And, I don't want to get too personal. I don't want to be too personal about you on the podcast because I want to respect your privacy.
No, everybody knows. It's fine. I got so many messages from listeners on our Facebook fan group. People were excited. It was really sweet.
But yeah, you've fallen in love. You met a great guy. I think he's fantastic. I think he's very smart. I think he's very charming. I think he's very funny. And most of all, I know you don't like this word, but I'm going to use it. I think he's so nice. Okay, and I'm going to take that to the grave. I think he's really nice. And
do
I think
you?
That's really important.
He's much more than nice. But yeah, his name's Eric. He's going to be my husband. And I wanted to make this whole segment not really about me. So I told Jess, I was like, okay, I'll talk about the engagement in the context of I can also offer a beauty tip.
Oh, God.
So I got I'm not engagement ring type. You have that lovely rose gold. It's so you. The poor man, if you want to know how he got engaged, go to Esquire.com.
Yeah, there's a whole story.
Search Eric Sullivan.
No, we could put a link to it.
Oh, we'll put a link to it. Yeah, yeah. He actually wrote a whole story about it because it was just really cute how it all happened. But I told him I didn't want a ring. I didn't want anything traditional. Somehow, he freaking nailed it. He's like, how am I going to propose to this woman without a ring? Mm-hmm. So he gets Pamela Love and designs a ring special with her. And, like, it's got black diamonds. It doesn't close completely. It's very me. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to take a photo of it. Here's where the beauty tip comes in. Which is really hard to do to make your hands look good, right?
I mean, I spent, like, 5 hours with Miss Pop trying to get my...
When you did your ring photo.
Yeah, because Miss Pop did my mani for the wedding. And it was, like... Relax your hand just a little.
Hands are weird. They look claw-like. Anyway, I remembered something that Madeline Poole had told us.
Oh, what did she tell us
again? And that is that you need to raise your hand up. Your hand cannot be down on something. It has to be up so that the blood rushes out of your hand.
Okay.
So it's not engorged with blood. I'm making it science. I know. Of course, I'm making this into like a science lesson.
Okay.
And then also the color looks better and your fingers look slimmer because they're not down.
Right.
Look up at you're doing it right now. Doesn't that work better?
Yeah, my hands look like kind of like.
And I think you need sunlight so you can blow it out a little so they don't look veiny, which is what I've learned. So I'm working on the picture of the ring still. For now, know that I'm engaged, and if I mention, you know, Eric from time to time, that's who we're talking about. You guys might not be aware, but right now there is a state bill up in California. It's called SB 1249, basically the Cruelty-Free Cosmetics Act, passed its first committee and is now going to the full state assembly in California. If it is passed, which it seems like it will be, by 2020, any company that sells cosmetics in California will not be allowed to knowingly test on animals or have any of the products that they use to make their products be tested on animals. So I saw this news and I got really excited to tell Jess about it. And then, of course, she schooled me because she's the queen of this knowledge. Yeah. You've written about this so many times. Yeah. So I'm excited, first of all, that this is coming up for a vote. I think this is great. And I want to just point out it probably means a lot of companies that will be coming in compliance are going to do it all over the country. Why would you make a separate product for California?
So this is just in California?
The bill, yes. Okay, it's only a state bill.
So, I interrupted you. I was like, when you said schooled you. You know, I just want to say I'm not like the expert, like not the animal testing expert, but it is an area of interest of mine.
Exactly, that's what I meant.
And
you had a very good point.
Yeah, so I think it exists for a reason. I'm looking at the bill now, you know, or looking at the literature now. It says that, you know, every year, tens of thousands of rabbits, guinea pigs, mice, and rats are killed to test cosmetics in the U.S. alone. So,
that's actually a lobbying group's website. So, of course, it's loaded language.
Okay, so
the actual bill is very neutral and like a law, and they're talking about it for like science reasons as well.
Okay, so I do think this is what I've learned in my research, that there is not, like, if this is happening in the U.S., it's not at the scale that it was at one point. I have animal testing in the United States.
And what you said to me was most companies aren't even testing on animals anyway.
Most respectable companies, like the companies you're going to CVS, you're going to Nordstrom and buying cosmetics from, the chances are they are not testing on animals. If I am wrong, I am really sorry, but that's what's been told to me by people who would know. The bigger concern is these companies, and many of them are in the CVS, they're in the Nordstrom, they're in these big, big places. They want to sell in China because that is an incredibly lucrative market. And in order to sell in China, those brands aren't testing on animals, but China's regulatory bodies have to test on animals. So it's like, those brands are like, hey, it's not us. It's China that has to do it, but they have to kind of play ball. So that is, to me, the big problem. But I think it's awesome that this is, you know, there's awareness and there's legislation that's happening at any level because it's keeping the conversation going. I would like to think that these people are not wasting their freaking time. And it's like,
well, hey, also if they source ingredients from China, that means that they would have been tested on animals. So they're not going to be able to use those ingredients in their California sold products. That's a good thing.
That's a great point. Yeah. It's like, you know, when I've done stories, I did stories for Teen Vogue about this. I felt like every layer was like kind of a
Mobius strip or something.
What does that mean?
M.C. Escher. I don't know.
It was like, but everything was like a, there was a caveat. You know, there was, you could buy a product and it could say cruelty free, but like the raw ingredients weren't cruelty
free. Right. That's why I think this bill is interesting, because they also point out that the ingredients used to make the products, because as you said, most finished products sold in the United States are no longer tested on animals. It costs too much money.
It's not efficient.
Yeah.
And they're also, it's not even accurate a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So I love that this conversation is happening, and I am absolutely behind it. But I think, like, let's keep our eye on the prize, which is the China issue.
Very good point. Very good point. Thank you, Jess. I have a question for you, Jess.
What's up?
I feel like we get our hair done a lot for our job, right? You meet a new stylist, you let them do your hair. You go to a blowout party, you go to a blowout bar.
Testing products. We go to salons all the time to like learn about new products.
You have a photo shoot here and there, whatever it is. Someone's doing touch-ups at a party, and you're like, sure, do a touch-up. I feel like every time I've sat in a hairstylist chair in the last year, they're like, oh, what do you want? And I'm usually just like, it's fine. You do whatever you can do quickly. It's fine. Every single time, I get the exact same thing. When did it become that the barrel curl is the new blowout? They look at your hair, and this isn't just me with my texture and length. I see it happen. I was at one thing, this was a couple weeks ago. Literally every editor came out of the chair with the same hairdo. They do a curl, they take a curling iron, they hold it vertically, they wrap a 1.5-inch section around it, just from like the mid-lengths to the ends. Ta-da, your hair is done. Why is this the look that everybody with a certain length hair all of a sudden, even short hair? I have friends with bobs who are getting the bar. What is up with that?
I feel like it's going to be one of those things, like, you know when you can kind of, like, you could look at a TV show and you can see what year it was, or like I found a picture of somebody and then I was like, oh my god, that was 2006, and I was like, I know, because I had those like weird like side emo bangs, like just like a little bit,
or like a chunky highlight just around the front of the face, just 1-2 highlights.
It's like, this is, I don't know how we got here. I think it's like, okay, this is my
theory. All the diversity, for all the embracing of the texture, for some reason, when you go to like a hairstylist in New York these days, it's in New York, I can only speak for that, you get barrel curls.
It's like a language. It's like a languid barrel curl. It's like an attempt.
It's not too pageanty. It's still,
because I think it's like kind of, we don't want to be like Kardashian. It's not like it's complete like Kim Kardashian like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
it's like, it's cooler than that, but it's not as high maintenance as that straight sleek thing, and it's also too damn hot and not humid. I mean, it's like 100% humidity.
To blow out people's hair with tension and make it super straight.
Exactly. Like that's.
But what about, even if I have friends with curly hair? My one friend Katie has really curly hair. Mm-hmm. Oh no, he softened the curls and made barrel curls.
Oh, God, I mean, you've really stumped me.
I know. I don't know what it is, and I want to hear from you guys. But I think we have a look right now in 2018, like. It's the new mall hair.
Like everyone on the show Younger has this hair.
Oh yeah, and if you go on morning television, Fox News, everything, every anchor person has the same hair. I think I need a little bit.
Maybe. Oh, okay. I'm being.
Also, I am speaking sort of just for. I don't know about ethnicity, but it's usually white women. If I'm going to think about it that way, I just want to point that out.
Can I get political?
Go for it.
I think it's kind of like neither here nor there. It's just kind of like.
Oh, it's in between hair.
It's in between. It's like not. So
you're not fighting your texture,
right?
So you're not going super straight if you happen to have curly hair.
I think it's just kind of like chill. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to make too much of an effort. Like, you don't want to be too.
It looks like,
I don't know. It's also like a little bit basic. And let's face it, like the culture is so freaking basic right now.
Yeah. Everybody just looks like.
Like, just like, I tried, but not really.
It makes me want to like cut off all my hair and do pixie. Not happening. Just kidding. But. Anyway, what do you guys think?
I don't know.
Barrel curls, a new blowout. I called it.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Oh, this is a delicious episode. I'm so happy. I basically went outside and caught Luke Henderson with a net. I've been waiting for this moment. Luke Henderson, I don't even know how to introduce you because basically you are my Real Housewives bestie. And I know you do makeup for the Real Housewives, but you're also a celebrity makeup artist and a makeup like tool entrepreneur and basically all around fabulous guy.
Thank you.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. Just warning. This episode may alienate some people who have not the passion for Bravo Real Housewives that I do. But I encourage you to stick with us because Luke is just so amazing. We're going to have a ton of fun.
We'll try and make it like rounded about.
Yeah, it's going to be a well-rounded conversation. Everything. We're talking about the beauty industry as a whole. So please stay with us. But wow, this is
Hold
like
on
Christmas
to your knickers,
for me.
Ladies.
Yeah, this is like Christmas for me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have
on
so
steroids.
Many questions. I'm calling you after this because I know I'm going to have questions after that we didn't
sure,
discuss.
Sure, fine.
Oh, okay.
Go for it.
Tell me some of the housewives you work with.
Okay, so I currently work for Dorinda.
Dorinda!
What are you doing here without Dorinda? So Dorinda's like the main girl.
Okay.
And as you know, these women, any of celebrities, they don't really want to share their hair and makeup. So once you're kind of with one, if they're friends with one on the show, they can go between and they might lend you to them. If their makeup artist or hair person's not in the mix or they're off ill or something's happened.
Okay.
So otherwise, you very much stay with one. But I've done Carol Radswell, who obviously
Radzie.
Isn't married. Yeah, Razzie, as we're now calling her in here.
Just for clarification purposes, these are all Real Housewives of New York?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Those two particularly. There was another lady on a reality show, Caroline Stanbury, who's on Ladies of London.
Can I just ask you?
Yeah.
Ladies of London is over now, right? They're not renewing it, or
so
are you
it
not
was three seasons, and they didn't renew it.
And it was so good. I don't know why.
I don't want to say they canceled it because they didn't do any big, huge statement.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm saying anything wrong here, but look, if they wanted to pick it up, would they? Did the figures match it? You know, it's an expensive show. You guys in America do reality TV so well. In England, we don't do it as well. So we had to film it. You know, Bravo, NBC, they flew over the best people, which is mm-hmm. what, you know, Bravo do. They it's want the best money. People to film it. And that's expensive because then you're putting up those people in accommodation.
Right.
And London is expensive.
It sure is. Now, Caroline, I have to say, had gorgeous makeup. Radzie always has most gorgeous makeup. And Dorinda is like, I mean, we bow down to her hair and makeup look.
Oh.
So these are the three
Speak
main
for yourself.
Gals.
Yeah. Jen's like, Jen, I don't even know what they're talking
I think,
about.
I'll be Googling while you guys
yeah,
talk.
Google.
Jen, did you have an errand to run? Didn't you say you had something?
I'll be back in 20, guys.
All right, JK, get in the mix. So what did you say like about... You know, Dorinda, like you're doing like her look to, like, is it changing every season? Like, how did you hook up with Dorinda specifically?
The thing is, when any woman gets past the age of 35, of course, on camera, I'm being honest, you can do the no makeup makeup, and that's great. When you're doing the green screens are where the women sit in the interviews. So, you know, like you've seen
like
the Kardashians.
Confessional.
The confessionals, exactly. So are those makeups maybe a little bit heavier? And also, any of those type of networks want those women to look glam. Some women in reality TV want it to be real reality. If they're going for a walk in the park with a friend, and they're being filmed, they don't normally do hair and makeup. Some of them do not want it. So,
really?
For instance, Dorinda is, like, very easy. She's like, I wouldn't walk around the park in false lashes and my hair, like, blown, you know, within an inch of its life. You get the other reality stars that really, they're saying it's reality, but it's not their real reality because they're not just kind of putting their hair in a scrunchie and putting huge sunnies on. They're going into hair and makeup. So different people.
Are you doing makeup for those kind of like walking in a park, having a fight scenes?
Look, there's some of the women that they don't always use you for every day on an everyday basis.
Right.
They might use the kind of some of the beauty apps where the apps are cheap, or some of those beauty apps are kind of coming to them for free.
Like a Glam Squad or
something
like
that. Yeah, like a Big Glam or like a Priva. And, you know, some of those will kind of contact these celebrities, these reality stars. And why would that reality star out of their own hard cash want to pay me my full day rate or my half day rate when they can get someone turn up for free?
Now I'm going to come back to that because
sure.
Guys, that's what I'm saying, guys, stay tuned because that is like a scandalous part of this conversation. Okay. So working with the housewives are different because you're not like, they're not doing this like no makeup, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 25 and I'm so cute and I'm eating breakfast at like the Kardashians,
exactly.
you know, kitchen counter. Like
yeah.
they want like a full beat sometimes.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, look, the Kardashians do too. You see them on odd
Maybe
occasions.
Maybe I chose a bad example.
Well, no,
I mean,
no, it's a good example. Most of them want, look, at the end of the day, I'm saying this how it is. This isn't a personal thing. When you're an actress, a model, a dancer, a singer, whatever it be, you have a talent and a trade. When you're a reality star, you don't have any talent. You don't have any trade. You don't. It's just how it is. And all you've got to rely on is your mouth and your looks. So if 50% of it or 30% of it is your look and you look like roadkill, if you think about the ones that are... Honestly, I mean, I'm saying it how it is.
Yeah.
If you think of the reality stars that are up there that we all kind of look up to that are probably stood on pedestals. You know,
yeah.
you've got those people, the Nenes, the Lisa Vanderpump, the Erica Janes, the Kim Kardashians. I know that Jenny's looking at us going, I don't know who half of these are, but
I know who the Kardashians
are. Oh, good.
Do you know Erica Jane is? Surely.
I've heard you talk
about
her.
Don't make us judge you, Jen.
But you're right. Like, the ones that are the bring the glam, they build
yeah.
a character, and you want to...
But this is it. And in the industry... you know, reality TV, that's how it's become. Look, I watch it myself. I'm obsessed. I love working within it. But that's reality TV. No one's got a talent.
Yeah.
It's and that's what they're relying on, their mouth, the timing, the person they bounce mm-hmm. off, and, you know, how they look. So this is why these women and the deals that they can get off the back of how they look, you know, look at someone who's really... And I take my hat off to her. Take Lisa Rinna. She's
yeah.
a hustler. She always looks on it. She looks amazing. Her figure's insane. And mm-hmm. she has the most successful kind of line of clothes.
Yeah.
You know, you take
She's
Erica.
On HSN, right?
Exactly.
Or she's on Real Housewives
yeah,
of Beverly Hills.
She's Beverly Hills, exactly. And then you've got, you know, Erica Jane that's kind of doing odd bits.
Beverly Hills.
So they're all going into
it. I've drank a skinny bitch margarita.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
that's Bethany. Yeah.
Bethany. I mean, she is probably the example of, like, the best housewife example of somebody who turned their reality stardom into cold hard cash.
Exactly. Bethany was, look, I don't know Bethany personally. I can only talk of kind of facts I know and what I read as we all do. You have to take your hat off to that woman. She did the reality show. By the looks of it, before that, maybe she was on the bones of her ass. She hustled, she did the show, and she did the clever thing that was probably one of the first women to do it, that she used that to her advantage, and she took the show and she used it as a platform.
Mm-hmm.
She created this kind of skinny margarita, skinny girl line, whatever it's called.
It
wasn't skinny bitch, which it kind of sounds
that's
great,
a good
actually.
Line.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, there's a book called Skinny Bitch in the Kitch.
Oh, okay.
Different brand. Maybe that's it. So
she would call that a cheater brand for
exactly
for fans of.
So she was she was really savvy with her kind of business model, and at that point as well, within her contract, and this is like public knowledge, she didn't get the kind of network or whatever to take any percent. So when she sold it, apparently, as we read in papers, for 80, 90, 100 million, the network didn't get anything. So they'd literally handed it to her.
Yeah.
But she'd also worked as well.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a reality show, that's where these women and these men, if you're savvy enough, that is where you can take it.
When you said, let's talk about makeup for a second. You said you do all these housewives. What is the housewives look? Like, what's Dorinda's look? How is it different than, say, a Kardashian look or like a red carpet look?
That's a great question.
The difference of doing a reality star to doing an A-list celebrity, and I've worked with A-list celebrities in London and a girl group and various other people. When you work with reality stars, like I said before, in the nicest possible way, any of them, there's no talent there. So because there's no talent there, as in they're not an actress, they're not a dancer, singer, etc. They've not been trained. Now, this is part of it. They've not been through the training process, the protocol of turning up on time. Look, some of them, and I'll take my hat off. Dorinda, for instance, she's very good. You say that you're starting makeup at 10 a.m. She is there, showered, hair clean, ready to go. Other I know, and I couldn't work for them. I hear it on a daily basis that they're late, they're still in bed. She was out, she's hungover. But there's one person who I've worked for many times, and that's how she is. But as I say, because they're not an actress and they've not been trained, you'd work with a model. They turn up, and if the shoot that day is we're bleaching out your eyebrows, we're bleaching out your eyebrows, lady. Take it or leave it. We'll put them back at the end of the day. Or you know, if we decide that we're putting like blood dripping down your face. That's what it is. These reality stars.
What do they want? Like, so what is this?
Well,
they're
directing
it?
You.
Oh.
And the further it goes along, as in the more they start to see themselves, they start to know. Well, you also, with any client, you start to know what works, what doesn't work. You might make the odd faux pas of, you know, I don't know, this season for like Dorinda's green screen. Each, when they do these green screens, you try and mix it up because, you know, one day you do like one look and then the next time you do another. And there's one look that I did for Dorinda, for instance, this year, where she said, I'm wearing Versace. So I was like, yes, girl, Versace, thinking yellow, black, that real, you know, that strong print across the dress. So I was like, let's curl your hair. So I did all these kind of tiny curls and I put this like purple lip on her. I mean, she'd gone from looking like, I'll say it how it is, from like a housewife of New York, and I turned her into like some housewife of Detroit. And I've never been to Detroit. I don't think the network liked it. In fact, they said you need to tone it down, like lose the purple lip.
You went a little editorial on it.
Yeah, it went a bit.
But it made it to the screen though, right? It made it to the...
Well, they told me to tone it down, but...
Because I was about to say, I've seen this look, and it's...
A few times.
Yeah, no, I mean, it...
You work with them. Look, they tell you to tone it down, it's like an editorial thing. If someone doesn't like it, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But they're directing you half the time, and then you kind of come up with a lot of it yourself.
Do you change the makeup? I was thinking about this. A lot of these women have a very distinctive look. Do you change it based on if they're shooting their TV show, doing an in-person appearance, or doing a still photo shoot? How do you change your makeup? Do you put on more for TV, less for TV?
You know, I definitely probably put on more for TV. You get used to working with certain types of products anyway. With a particular client, like I have like a box that's kind of like Dorinda's foundations and color, you know, for her skin and her concealers. But it just depends what it is. You know, sometimes if you're doing a daytime look, you don't want to put lashes on. Or maybe you've got 15, 20 minutes, quick hair and makeup, because they're late or because, I don't know, some drama's happened or they've been crying or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it just really depends. And like every case
There's
is different.
No rules.
There's really not.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes you can turn up and they'll sit there and be very good. And they'll just like the next minute they're on their phone, then they're on the phone to someone else. And then they're on the phone to another housewife or it really just depends.
Okay.
It definitely is like a case by case, but they definitely have their times of craziness for sure.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, you know, these shows bring like a stress with them.
Yeah.
Think about this, that you're here now, we're talking. And when we leave this room, You can't talk to me, for instance, Jess. You can't talk to Jen. And then they're going to film you talking about maybe we've been arguing. Now, what we would do if we argued in here now is we'd finish. Maybe we'd go for a drink. We'd talk about it all the next day. Say, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to shout at you. But you can't get in contact with that person because the next time you have to do it on camera. So you can never really...
Yeah.
You can't...
It's not like jury duty or something.
You can only do it when that camera's on. Right. Otherwise, the audience can't follow it. So you have to remember, like, those people that are watching it, they're like... It's like... They say it's like TV land. They're watching it. And if you see them make up when there's a camera not there, the audience can't understand that. Because then two scenes later, when they're fine again... Yeah. It's like all the pieces of the jigsaw are not quite there, and the audience will get confused.
So everything has to be on camera.
Yeah, what does this do for like makeup and hair with continuity? Like, have you ever had to like go back?
Yeah, you do. So every kind of those green screens, before you start filming the next one, they'll send you the look of what it is to kind of copy it.
They send you a picture and be like, remember last time we saw her, she was in like a cat eye. Make sure.
But sometimes they can get to editing stages, and it might have been a month and a half, 2 months. And that person's hair's grown and they want to do a pickup scene. So there might have been an argument with one of the people in a restaurant and they saw everyone else arrive and they could get to the edit stage and be like, shit, we didn't see Dorinda arrive for that scene. So they might have to then go back and say, we need to do a pickup scene of her walking into the restaurant.
Wait, have you ever had to do anyone's hair like they got in a fight? And then you have to do a pickup scene, so you have to make them look like they got in a fight.
No, I'd like to say that I work for...
The classy ones?
Yeah,
this isn't Jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No one's flipping tables in my life. Oh, Jen.
Teresa.
I've never worked for her, but there was one housewife of New Jersey that contacted me and I said, yeah, you know, let me know if you need me. I replied back to her and she said, oh, yeah, I'll get you across to do a trial. I'm like... Honey, I don't do trials. I'll do a trial for Rosie Huntington-Whiteley. I'll do a trial for like Anne Hathaway. I ain't doing a trial for you across the water in Jersey.
I was about to say, yeah, you can come out to Jersey and do a trial.
No, dear. If you want me, you come to me. You know where I am.
Oh, my God. That's so insulting. Okay, so I was thinking like, you know, we're talking like housewives makeup. Because I feel like it's such a cliche to say housewives makeup. Like, what's housewives? Like, what if somebody says... You know, like, this is housewives, this is not housewives. What's housewives?
Housewives makeup, are we talking?
Like, is it a bronzer? Is it a lip liner? Is it a, like, what are your trademarks?
Look, the whole kind of, like, beauty industry, everyone's, like, jumped on that contour. Yeah. Everyone wants that highlighter.
Yeah.
This is where it's, like, it's a weird area because everything's kind of blending into one. Yeah. And it's going from that YouTube-y, Instagram-y type makeup. And I can always tell... on red carpets and on if I'm filming and someone's doing green screen or maybe they've been filming before me or a celebrity or a reality star, I've started using someone who was a YouTuber or an Instagrammy type person because there's traits and look, anyone that's doing YouTube, Instagram, it's amazing. Like
what
that
are some
platform,
of these traits?
Okay. Like my one bugbear is as a makeup artist, if I'm putting highlighter, you know, you put on those kind of parts that you want to glisten and give it that real J-Lo glow, okay? Mm-hmm. So on your nose... I don't know if anyone's said this before or if I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
To put glow on, highlighter on the top of my cheekbones, gorgeous. You know, that's like so... looks stunning. To put highlighter all the way down the end of my nose and turn my nose or that client's nose into a ski slope, no.
Is that housewives, though?
And they like bit on the tip of the nose. Someone did my makeup once and highlighter on the tip of my nose. It's very weird.
And so there's definitely a difference. But the housewives makeup, look, it's pretty glam. Mm. Are these women rich, aristocratic women? No. Because none of those women... Look, I'm saying it to
I thought one of them was like a countess or something.
Oh, please. I mean, come on. Look, let's break it down. Like, think about... And I'm not saying they don't, but these women, the women that are doing the shows, and this goes across the whole board, they're either one fame hungry or they're trying to get back on their feet money wise, or there's generally some kind of reason. Because if I think of like the Upper East type woman who maybe some of them are my clients, some are friends that are living in the £50 million townhouse, £80 million, whatever it be, with the Hamptons, with the house in Vail, with the house here, there. She's not doing the housewife. She's
is
just
Aaron
not.
Lauder the next housewife? That's what I mean.
Yeah. This is my point. It would be
would
like,
Aaron Lauder even let a camera into
exactly, her
house
it
like
would be
that.
Like
yeah.
saying, okay, next season on Housewives, we've got Aaron Lauder, Linda Fargo, no. and we just build it. It's not happening.
So these are more, so the glam is manufactured a little bit is what you're saying.
Sorry, we've gone off on a tangent.
It's like
but
Donald
that's
Trump.
My job to bring you back. It's fine.
Bring me back, Jen. Bring me
it's
back.
It's like the Donald Trump version of like rich person.
Oh, good analogy. Yeah.
It's like.
Look, to and this is the thing, like to Joe Public, and I don't come from money or any like aristocratic background or anything like that. It's just to Joe Blogs. Yes. Are they living a nice lifestyle? They're living in that $3 million house, that fire, blah, blah, blah. But on the grand scale of richness, and I put it in like, you know, in inverted, exactly.
They're poor.
They're not particularly, I wouldn't say they're poor, Jess, putting words to my mouth. I mean, God. But look, they're not being picked up in, they're not driving around in Rolls Royce Bentleys. Maybe the ones on Beverly Hills are. Yeah. They're different, kettle of fish. They've got the toys, the private jets, the okay, maybe in New York, we're a bit more like raw and organic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these women are jumping on the subway. You know, there's one that's, and you know, she's fairly pleasant to me, but there's one, you know, she's just been arrested. There's one that's just a, you know.
Lou.
Exactly, yeah. You know, there's
Tinsley's
other ones.
Been arrested.
There's another one that's, again, always so polite to me, Sonia. This woman on the one of the episodes, she's like undoing her dress and showing all her, you know, behind. I mean, what not woman classic. With any class does that?
Oh, they were just talking about how like they had diarrhea all over exactly. the, the resort, and they showed the poor. I did not like
well,
this.
They
showed the lady
the
cleaning it up. That really actually upset me. That was really disgusting.
I didn't really like that. And although it's kind of funny, and you think, oh my God, if we were in that situation, I'd like to think I'll never be in that situation of pooing myself and the cleaner having to like come into the hotel room.
I would clean it myself.
I thought you were going to say you'll clean mine, then
no,
Jess.
I'll
I was
clean
like,
yours too.
Oh my
don't
God,
worry.
We just
no.
met Jess.
No, but Luke, this, I got
this
you.
Has gone really off the rails.
Have you ever seen Jess behave like this before?
No, of course. Oh, but no, I.
Good.
I was like, what about the hair?
No, but this is.
It goes back to
what
the
you're
hair.
Trying to say.
It is goes back.
It's not the classiest.
Is it exactly, you know, it's like we want to watch, they're fun, they have a laugh, you know, at reality TV with all of them. It's about the rise and the fall and the end of that season. Everyone made up and they're happy again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom. We start another season and she's dragging the next woman down the road by her hair. You know, it's what it is. It's like this. It's like a slapstick kind of comedy. Like that. It's like there's a formula to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that. But yeah, with regard to the hair and makeup, Housewives are known for that. Hair, the big hair, lashes, the contour.
Do you think, though, some regular women who aren't on TV see that and think that is, quote unquote, glamorous? If you took them to a charity ball on the Upper East Side and they showed up looking like a housewife, sorry, they would stand out like a sore thumb. Like, they would not look like all the other women, the moneyed women, who I think don't wear as many fake lashes.
Ultra, ultra moneyed. I mean, they're
you
all
think,
moneyed,
though,
but
this
you
look,
mean they're mounting moneyed.
Then when people get money, say you're an entrepreneur in the middle of America and you get money and all of a sudden you're like, I need to start looking rich. They think this is what rich people look like?
I mean, look, I wouldn't want to completely, like, judge anyone in particular. I can think of one A-list celebrity who I know is friends with another housewife, and she constantly is like, ugh, I've been with both of them. Yeah. And she's like, oh, your lashes. And she literally...
It's like too much for her.
Yeah, and she said, like, if you're coming on a, you know, red carpet, you need to, like, tone it down because... You know, she's so less is more, and the editorial, like,
yeah,
very...
Yeah, like Gwyneth Paltrow's not doing housewives makeup.
Exactly. But the thing is now, the difference in the last few years is reality TV used to be so frowned upon. And so, like, ugh, you work on reality TV or whatever it be, and now you just can't. Because it's like you can't turn your nose and, like, flick it away as though it's, like, you know, dust on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Because... It's like such a big thing and like such a big part of the culture. And actually people kind of aspire and they're looking up to it. It's like the TV shows, you know, they're winning awards.
Yeah.
You know, it's like TV and film, like that's gone down the same kind of route. Years ago, did anyone ever think that, you know, Netflix and would be like winning like these huge awards and Hulu and that? Well, that's it.
Yeah.
But all those like companies that sat on the fence and watched, and it's like reality TV. you know,
culture now.
It's culture now. It is what it is. It's there. And the Kardashians have done, like, whether we people like them or hate them, they've done an amazing thing, as in they've built that, and they've built, and people like look up to it.
It's like you can't ignore them. You can hate them, but you can't ignore them.
Look, no one ever thought that Kim and those other Kardashians would be sat on the front row of Chanel. People used to laugh at them. Yeah. No one would even lend those women and the housewives. They, at the beginning, they didn't want to lend you clothes. They didn't want to give the free stuff, the free makeup, because it was you email a brand. You know, you girls have both worked in editorial kind of backgrounds. You email the brand, hey, can I have this? It's, who's it for? It's for this client. And it used to be no, no. And it's not like that now.
Yeah.
Now, and that's why I say the Kardashians, they used to have to buy their own Balmain Chanel. Mm-hmm. Not anymore, because they're sat on the front row.
Mm-hmm. I remember I was at Health Magazine and Kim Kardashian came to do a desk side with me. And I'm like, who is this girl? Right. She was really short. I was surprised. She was selling shoes for some company. I didn't know who she was. And I think back now, can you imagine Kim Kardashian doing a desk side for Payless Shoes or whatever it was? Okay, but gets back to beauty for a second. Mm-hmm. If we're talking products like the Housewives kit, like what are those lashes? What's in Dorinda's kit?
What's the starter kit? My must-have kit
that would be for Dorinda would definitely be a full coverage foundation. I'm always obsessed with Tom Ford, the kind of pan sticks, which I know were kind of, when I say designed, they're like the Max Factor, the pan stick, you know, the old ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of where the idea came from for those. I love those. They're really great. Let me think. Concealer, there's always a good concealer. MAC Select Cover, because it's moisturizing and it doesn't crease too much.
Oh, and there's nothing. Wow. I've got to guess.
There's nothing worse than a creasy concealer.
Yeah, they're so hard to find.
And I have like this thing with foundations, which is like quite, I don't know if it's interesting to you guys, but maybe to the viewers that are listening, that with foundation, now that they're, you know, you get your foundation, you're either a cool, a neutral, a warm tone, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what tone you are, whether you're level one or level 10, say one's the lightest, 10's the darkest. And my bugbear in when we go to a shop, it could be, and I'll say it could be any of the department stores, and I don't want to throw anyone under the bus because everyone is a culprit of it. When you go into the training of like learning those kind of like basics of color matching and, you know, taking the foundation that you've already got off with a wipe and matching it with like a Q-tip or a cotton bud on the side, if you're a cool tone, they'll match you to this kind of pinky foundation. Well, I'm thinking about me. If I've got, and again, it's not rocket science. If you've got pinky skin, I don't really want to add to the pinkiness.
We were just talking about this the other day. Yeah, I was like, I'm yellow. And I was like, the girl was like, you need a neutral foundation. I was like, oh, I thought, well, I need more yellow. She's like, what do you get when you add yellow with yellow? I was like, yellow.
Exactly.
Like,
you don't want to walk around with jaundice. You know, it's not a good look. Or maybe, I don't know. But so, you know, there's like, there's those kind of traits that you bring that I definitely do. Dorinda's always got full coverage foundation, concealer. They love a highlighter and they always want a contour. You know, everyone wants a cheekbone now. Sure. I don't know what it is with this cheekbone thing.
But they have a lot of work done too. Like there's injectables in a lot of people's faces.
Some of them do. And the funny thing is, and I'm not talking about housewives now, it's actually quite funny. All the women that I've done over the years, and there's been many, anything going from, you know, the woman who's going out just for a lunch up to the woman that's walking the red carpet for the biggest movie coming out, whatever it be. But they don't like to admit it, and that's totally fine. But you can feel filler.
You can tell, right?
You can tell.
How can you feel it?
You can feel it. It's like, especially in the lips. That's always a classic one for me.
Oh, when you're like lining their lips.
When you're lining it and you're touching it with the you can tell. And I love it when they're like, no, I've not had any work done. I'm like, really?
And you want to just say, oh, like you look amazing.
It's kind of, look, surgery, lips, cheekbones, do whatever you want to do. If it makes you feel more confident, but at least just either admit it or if you're there like 5 inches from the face, don't try and tell me that you've not had any work done when your cheekbones look like you've got scaffolding under them.
Do you have to change how you contour? Because like a lot of people have filler in their cheeks.
Yeah, so if people have got that whole kind of cheekbone-y kind of thing, if you know put too much bronzer underneath or you over contour, it's too harsh.
Yeah.
And if some of these women now, whether it's a housewife or whoever, you know, it's still very fashionable to be like, you know, uber thin. And if you over contour, you don't want to look like Skeletor, because that is not like a good look. Yeah. So it's like that happy medium of, you know, the contour process for sure.
Yeah. So what else? Like, what about like the eyes though, the lashes and stuff for these ladies?
Look, because the girls, they always want a lash. Like, I guarantee. And some of them have started getting those awful extensions. And I'm sorry for anyone that does put lash extensions on for their clients or it's part of their business. And I'm sorry, but I cannot stand them. They start, as they start to grow,
yeah,
they start to go in different directions, but they're stuck to that lash.
Like an old rake.
It's awful. So half the time you end up having to put a lash, a false strip lash on the top to kind of control the ones that are like,
yeah.
Have an epileptic fit under the false lash. It's literally like they're having a disco. And I'm not a fan of them.
So do you ever get like some good goss from like these ladies because they're, you know who they go to, like dermatologists or doctors? I feel like you're exposed to all this info.
They don't, unless they want to talk about it, I wouldn't ask them. You can't be too invasive. When you're a makeup artist or you do hair, look, it's like we all do. You go to your local salon, you know, whatever it be. When did you last go on holiday? What do you do? But once you get to know them, they'll really open up and start to tell you their deepest, darkest secrets. Mm-hmm. You know, who they slept with, who's going with so-and-so. She said this, blah, blah, blah. They tell you whether you want to know or not. I went off on a tangent there.
But do they tell you what derms they go to?
Oh, no, yeah. Jen's like, where are we?
I was like, who they sleep with?
No, Jess is like, going for the guest derm. Gossip. Jen's going for, like, the beauty. They do tell you. Some of these women, though, now... They'll see one of their friends who's got amazing cheekbones. Who did you go for that, darling? And she's like, I went to this one, Park Avenue, blah, blah, blah. Then her friend flies in or she goes to, you know, I don't know, she goes to Mystique on holiday and her next friend's got a gorgeous lip. Who did you go to for that one? And then they go to someone else. So they're going to different people.
Like bitches ain't loyal?
Bitches definitely ain't loyal, and we'll come on to that in a minute.
But then the doctor doesn't know what's already in your face. Is this how it goes off the rails?
Do,
and look a little weird?
But if you're sat there and as these women do go, okay, so I was thinking about maybe getting like a bit of fill in my cheekbone, but like, you know, doctor, what do you think I should do? The doctor's going to go, well, we could put a bit more here and we could do these lips a bit more. And, you know, if we just do the crow's feet and we could do some threading that will pull this back.
Yeah.
Of course, he's like a salesperson.
Yeah.
You know?
And then this is why they look a little crazy sometimes.
Yes, because they don't know when to stop because they're obsessed.
Do you think they're just saying yes to like, and I'm not talking about your clients, but like just in general, a lot of these reality people, they're getting like, I mean, Jen and I get, you know, DMs and emails from like surgeons and derms all the time. Saying, come in and get this. Come
they
in
say
and get
yes
this.
For the free stuff, some of them.
I feel like they probably have some more time than... Jen and I have to like be in an office all day.
I'll tell you this. The
we don't have time to do all the free stuff.
Jen, in my like freelancer business, I've not talked to you about this, but it's completely changed in the last five to ten years.
Oh, yes.
Okay, we'll lead on to that. That was a nice cue.
You did it. You did the transition.
It's definitely changed. So before you'd got the beauty apps and before all that kind of thing was around, if that woman who I used to do, the Upper East woman, the woman in London, in Chelsea that was going out, that has got so much money, she doesn't know how to spend it. She would call me for a hair and makeup. I'd go there, drag my kit round, and you could charge that top premium rate, that, you know, thousand.
What's like a day rate like for you, up top
premium? It really depends because it depends, okay.
But it could be $1,000, right? Just to get people.
It really depends. You know what? It sounds like it could be like I sound like a hooker. It depends whether you want me for overnight, Jen. It depends whether you're flying me somewhere.
Transportation? Are they feeding you?
Yeah,
some people
exactly.
have no idea of what these things cost.
So if someone calls, you know, the general kind of fee, they call you for hair and makeup. It can range anything from, I would say, anything from $300. Up to $2,500-$3,000 is what people are charging.
I want to be the $3,000 person.
You deserve it. You're worth it, Jess.
were saying it used to be people call you, they pay your day rate.
Exactly, because you have to think back 5 years and more, there was no kind of blowout bar on every street corner. There was no makeup bar. If you went into retail now has gone down an avenue. Everything's about an experience. Everything's so you don't just go in to get your makeup. It's like bring your friends in. We'll get a group if you go. You know, it's and so now that those kind of blowout bars are there, there's makeup bars. Mm-hmm. They've made the kind of beauty counters more of an experience to entice people to come in.
Right.
That you're then kind of negotiating because this woman that was just going out for a lunch, and plus the apps as well, the Priv, the Big Lam, the blah, 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 they're all there. This woman now doesn't, she could order me to her front door, say, for instance, for hair and makeup for $1,000, or she can jump onto an app and she can then order hair for $50 and makeup for $50. And I'm not being rude, but Barbara in Ohio or whatever, she doesn't really know the difference between good and bad. All she knows is she's got a wedding on Saturday. Yeah. She's going with a few of her friends. She was asked by someone else. She's not so bothered. Is there a big difference in it? Mm-hmm. Yes, there's a big difference.
Yes.
But women, and this has been the same for years, a lot of the celebrities, the elite kind of aristocratic, whatever it be, the posher ladies, shall we call it, clientele, they don't really want to pay for hair and makeup. And when I say this, people will disagree and say, no, they do. Handbags are an investment. Property is an investment to them. Cars, jewelry, makeup, when they're wiping it off at the end of the night, that's not an investment to them.
But isn't there something about like just like human decency that you want to pay someone?
No, no. I've been in townhouses and it was actually that saying that the one straw that broke the camel's back. I was in someone's townhouse, which was probably, I think they had it on the market for 74 million. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to go to their house and I went there and I'd worked for them before and I stood there and I did the hair, did the makeup. The hair was kind of already, she'd had it, when I say she had it done, she'd had a blowout a day before, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was really just kind of dry shampoo, blowing it out, give it some volume, few Velcro rollers, whatever. And then makeup-wise, she kind of marched around her bathroom and grabbed some products and said, I want you to use these, which I really don't like doing because I don't know how they sit on the skin.
Yeah.
So anyway, for the easy life, I did it. And we'd already agreed a rate. And then once I was packing up my kit, I could see her reflection in the bedroom because she was in this town and she was going into the safe. She was getting the money and she stood there and she said, oh, my hair was already dry tonight. I mean, it was just a quick makeup. I only had like a dewy skin. I don't really want to pay that much. Are you okay taking this? And I went,
so nauseous.
Okay, yeah, sure. No, it's fine. In my head for that split second thinking, it's okay. I'll be back again, you know, maybe more constant work. And I stood there and anyway, she kind of flounced off. I packed up my kit and walked down the $1.5 million staircase, which she was telling me about the time before. And I stood there and I thought, what were you thinking? Like, you have this lifestyle, you have the drive, you have the car, and you're negotiating my rate just as I've done it. And that's the thing, though. Nowadays, it's very difficult to be charging those high prices. It's different.
They've commoditized like what you do in a way.
Yeah, right? and it does kind of devalue it. But
that doesn't make what this person did right. Like
no, it's totally not right.
This person's
disgusting.
Look,
there's a lot of celebrities out there that are obviously, you know, it's coming off their tax bill. It's going through their limited company. It's not even touching them. You know. J-Lo and Mariah are not worried about what they're paying because, like, one, their wage checks and, you know, it's all kind of tax deductible because it's their job and they need it for it. But some of these other women are just going out for lunch with a friend. They don't want to pay that money that they used to pay, which is why it kind of took me down the route of going into kind of making beauty accessories because
back up just for a second. Yeah. These ladies, not the, like, you know, big fancy, not like the big like artists and actresses of the world, but the women, like the lunch ladies, they don't want to pay the lunch ladies, the ladies who lunch, the lunch ladies. They don't want to pay this money. It's not because they don't have it. It's because their perception.
She was at the cash in the safe.
She was at the safe.
Yeah,
they just don't want to pay it. They don't see it as a good investment. Yeah.
So the rates have changed since this whole new
for
world.
Sure.
And you started a line.
to make up the difference. No, exactly. Not at all. But you make brushes, you make bags. Tell us about your line.
So basically, as I talked about before, when you go on a reality show, mm-hmm. if you're savvy enough, you have to like create a product line. Otherwise, why are you doing it? Yeah. Because being famous, 100 people could say hi to me down the street. That doesn't pay a bill or a mortgage.
What?
Every now and then, like, because
you're on the show like frequently, right?
I was definitely on the Ladies of London a lot more. I get recognized but it's because of them, not because of my own fame and my Instagram. You know, I could be better on it, but
my friend was really excited that you were coming on the show.
Oh, really? Oh,
that's she so said sweet. She was shitting herself.
Back to the poo again, guys.
such a class act tonight.
You saw an opportunity.
Exactly. So I saw an opportunity. I was introduced to this amazing company called Verge Creative, mm-hmm. who are based in Manhattan. They're owned by the most amazing people, a lady who's called Stephanie Cohen and her husband, who's the president. And they make beauty products, accessories for, you know, private label for anything from Sephora, Barney's, Bergdorf's. And they made my product line for me. I worked with them. And then the product line that I had was on HSN, and that particular business model didn't quite work for me because when you're new at one of those bigger kind of home shopping channels, you're not given the prime time slots. Of course, you know, they're not going to give you the 6 p.m. when they know that that's their peak. They're giving that to their kind of bestsellers and their products, their brands, you know, that have been on and they know that work. So they could give you a 4 a.m. slot. Mm-hmm. But however, you know, turning it into a positive, it really taught me about making products and how they work and going. And then it kind of brought me on then to start making beauty products for other brands. But this company has made them for years and years.
Yeah.
But what I've kind of brought to them is my beauty expertise. And we've kind of...
So you've consulted on some lines.
Exactly.
I see.
Various different lines.
Are you allowed to tell us which ones?
I mean, I can't because it's private
label.
It's
behind the scenes, right.
And the thing is with private label, it really is private. Mm-hmm. And what I've brought to them is helping these brands now that used to do the kind of gift with purchase. And I heard Erin Lauder talk about it because it was Lauder company that created that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even those times have evolved from the gift with purchase. People are still doing it. But how many totes do you want? How many? So the times have changed with that. And, you know, people, there's so many kind of beauty boxes out there now where the people are getting products as well. And it's kind of, what's your point of difference? So some of the brands now want to start doing kind of makeup. Of course, they still want the accessories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been really interesting working with other brands that...
Like retail stores, like different makeup, like clothing stores that want to
do makeup.
Yeah,
maybe they want to do their
own
private label because they're already established as a brand. Or maybe it'll be a brand that's a beauty brand that's already established, and they don't have beauty accessories that are kind of crying out for it.
Yeah. Is that your specialty? Are you like the...
Yeah, because the beauty brands are like what I've grown up and I'm just obsessed with.
Oh,
so
that's
to
awesome.
See...
You look like you're having fun. Like your eyes are like sparkling.
Yeah, I do.
You look really happy.
Well, it's difficult. Look, life's like a kind of journey. Everything's got a beginning, a middle and an end.
Yeah.
So this is like something new. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like continuing on from the makeup. It's still working with all the beauty brands, but it's kind of like... telling them, and sometimes they don't realize that they, you know, they need them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're adding to a line, but the best thing about the company who I make them with, Verge Creative Group, who are based in Manhattan, is the fact that everything we do is custom. So it's not just like this kind of company that are just making them. Everything's custom. And I love the fact that we work with any price point. So it could be, I love the fact.
What's the difference like in a brush? Why is one going to cost $40 and one costs $10?
Well, it's just the...
For example, just a brush I'm using because I know you make...
It depends whether it's real hair, you know, what mm-hmm. the... How it's kind of been put on. You know, you don't want hairs coming out onto your face.
I hate that. And you're like...
Exactly, yeah. So the exciting thing like with what I'm doing is... besides working with like the huge big brands where there's a lot of money and they're huge volumes, I love the fact that we're also working with brands that are up and coming.
So are you going to give them to your housewives? Like are you test driving them? Yeah. Are you getting the feedback?
The products I have, I use now. I mean, they're in my kit. Everything,
okay.
A lot of the brushes and products that I use are kind of still there.
What else is in this kit? We didn't talk about some of your favorites yet. We heard about Tom Ford Foundation.
Oh, yeah, there's Tom Ford. There's always... Right? Yeah, I mean, my kit's pretty full, and you need to have everything in it. Anything from, like, a glittery eyeliner to a, you know, a kohl pencil from Charlotte Tilbury, mm-hmm. or a... And Urban Decay. That's one brand I love. I love their eyeliners. If you want a different...
Those 24/7?
Yes. they are everything. You know what? If you're going on a night out and you're in the office and you're like this kind of girl who doesn't do too much makeup, mm-hmm. go and buy an Urban Decay eyeliner, whatever color you want to go for that night. Mm-hmm. If you want to be matchy-matchy with your outfit and just do it under the eye line, mm-hmm. you know, just to give you that pop of color.
Yeah.
It just kind of takes it from day to night. It's like putting a bright lip on.
I love that.
If you're feeling uninspired or you don't know, put that like, you know, Charlotte Tilbury red carpet red, or like put like the NARS orgasm on.
Bring it.
Love it. Do I get one bonus Housewives question?
Oh, go on. Go for it.
Okay. It's what do you do when you think you really nailed it with a look and then you get those fan comments?
I mean, I'm a bit like it's water off a duck's back. I don't really care.
But have you ever done a look and then got like, it didn't work?
Look, everything kind of goes back to like when we were brought up as kids. I was like pretty bullied as a kid. So I'm not really bothered what some random on Instagram is saying how awful I am, or you literally killed her look last night. I mean, like, really? You think I'm not sleeping? I'm definitely still sleeping. What, because she had a purple eyeliner instead of navy? It's fine. No one died, Dorinda. We'll get over it together without therapy.
It's very true.
I mean, and
good
people,
advice.
And people, I see these stars, and I have done for years, deleting the negative Instagram comment.
So like, oh, they do. They
I'm
do.
Like, bring it on, honey. You keep doing it.
I see people do that.
Oh, they delete them. I'm like, really? Who was that from? The person who had 8 followers and they don't have a photo of their face?
Nobody.
And they just told me what? I'm ugly, or they said she looks like a transvestite, or they said blah, blah, blah. Like, it's fine. I'll still eat my dinner tonight and be able to sleep straight after.
On that note, I feel like we have to end the interview there. That is so true. You've been so much fun. I feel like I learned a little about the Housewives.
I hope
a lot
I've
about
been informative.
Makeup. Oh my God, very much so. Thank you
okay,
so much.
I'll talk to you later.
I think we talked too much, Jess. Or I did.
Please see the bonus episode that Jess and Luke are gonna
I can't
record
wait
later.
To see how this
we're gonna do like a live watch, like a live tweet.
Done.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
It's time to raise a wand because I'm singing again.
Okay, well, I've got to find an item.
I found my item and I've had it prepared because I'm really excited about it.
Okay.
It is called Jack Black Turbo Wash. You know Jack Black, the men's brand?
Of course I do.
It's one of those men's brands that I have adopted as my own and I love it. So this energy, it's the Turbo Wash. And I think it's mm-hmm. Turbo Wash because it's like shampoo, cleanser, all in one. Mm-hmm. They have this energizing version. And I'm telling you, in this August heat, there is nothing like it. It has mm-hmm. rosemary, eucalyptus, and juniper berry. Mm-hmm. But you know how eucalyptus can be kind of like bracing and astringent and like cold feeling sometimes?
Very
it almost
chilling.
It has like menthol in it. So this is not like that. It wakes you up in the morning and it makes you feel like you had a cold shower, even with hot water, but not in that like menthol-y cold way, just in a cool, refreshing way. And there's something about the rosemary and juniper that's just like, it is energizing. Like after I wash with this,
I love
rosemary.
Like, love anything rosemary.
Yeah, it's like, it's uplifting, but not orangey lemon citrus uplifting. It's a little bit chicer. It's like herbal uplifting. And it smells like Aesop or something really expensive. And it's not so expensive. It's a huge tube. All right, it's $23 for, but it's also a shampoo.
Okay.
So you can use it all over.
You can rationalize it like that.
Yeah, Jack Black Turbo Wash Energizing Cleanser. What's yours?
I'm going to go with, it's definitely a luxury item today. We're going to go with Tom Ford Lipstick in Spanish Pink.
So what makes it Spanish?
Well, it's just, I can't really explain the Spanish pink part, but actually when Laura Slatkin was here, she recommended it to us.
Okay.
And I've always loved her lipstick. It's this pale pink. Actually, I was wearing it today. I probably like talked it off because we were just gabbing a lot with Luke. Mm-hmm. But it's this very soft, creamy, it's opaque, but it's not like matte. It's like just a beautiful, creamy, I almost want to call it like a 1950s pink. When you say what's Spanish about it, it's very summery.
Mm.
And I've gotten tons of compliments.
Sunshiny and warm in Spain.
Yeah, it's very, I really feel like it's kind of a 1950s
I always want to say it's like a John Waters pink, like very like a little retro kitsch.
Ooh.
But it's not like, oh, like, okay, we're doing a 50s thing, Jess. I get it. It's like more sophisticated than that. And I think that is so fitting for Laura Slatkin.
You know, like a sophisticated pink, not a bubblegummy pink.
Right. Sophisticated, retro, but not silly. And that's like Laura tick, tick, tick. And I just love that about her. So I got it for myself and I've been loving it. Gobs of compliments. And it is so creamy and it, like, it almost feels like a lip balm when I put it on. So it's definitely an indulgence. It's $55. But I mean, you put it on, you could be wearing like a Hanes t-shirt and like, you know, jeans, and you feel like you're the most glamorous person on the subway.
Raise a wand.
You definitely are wearing your top four lipstick. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.